We're helping Hashes of Era start your day Torah in Manchester.
Good morning. These setters are. These setters from Shibbet Mitzrayim and the Gula, Shmois, Vaira, Boi, Bishalach, all the parshiyos where Klal Yisrael went into Gulas Mitzrayim, and the Eibishter took them out of Gulas Mitzrayim and took them out the Kriyas, and took them through the Yamsif on the way to Eretz Yisrael. That was a most difficult time of Klal Yisrael, the Tzuras HaShibbet, the difficult years, and all the Tzuras that Eden went through in Mitzrayim. And we know, though, that the Tzuras that Eibishter gave us then, how we went into Mitzrayim, wasn't in order that Eden should have Tzuras. There was a tafkid and a tachlis to the Tzuras when the Eden went into Mitzrayim. That was the time in history when we were taken from being a few individuals, from being Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, V'Yankiv, and we were changed into Am Yisrael. We became a nation. The nation that we became into happened in those years, those 210 years when we went down to Mitzrayim, until we came out of Mitzrayim. That's when we ended up being from a few individuals into becoming the nation of Klal Yisrael, which we Baruch Shem Zoicha till this day. This is the Am HaNivcha, and that's the Am Yisrael that Eibishter managed to give the Heilige Torah to afterwards. That's when we became a nation. We know that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is L'Toivah. In Kolshkein Shebe Kolshkein, if he said Avrum Avini Babris Ben Absurim, while Babris Ben Absurim he was trying to tell Avrum Avini lots of different bruchas, and he told him that Gei Yezarcho Be'eres Lo Elohem Arba Me'e Shuna, that they're going to go into Gulis, he definitely Eibishter meant as a Toivah for Klal Yisrael. And if we look at it and we think about it a little bit, it's the same thing as we know when a person has an operation and the doctor has to do open heart surgery, he has to do some other type of operation. If somebody walks in the middle on it, he's going to think that this is the biggest terrorist around. He's taking a knife, he's cutting this person to pieces, he's opening him up, there's blood all over, it looks terrible. In Versteitzach we know that the truth is that the extreme opposite of that is the truth. Versteitzach, the doctor, he is taka hurting this fellow. He had to put him to sleep, it shouldn't hurt him too much. And he taka, there's blood all over, and his taka is cutting him up to pieces with a knife. And it's really pain, and the person will be in recovery afterwards for maybe days, weeks, maybe even months. But we still know that was a real big toiva that this doctor did. Not only was it a toiva, but he's sending a bill afterwards for tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds for the services that he had to be able to cut the person up. What's pshat? He's asking for money for it. Because he was doing him an extreme toiva. People are happy to pay for such a toiva because they know it's worth putting up with some pain, and worth of going through some hardships and discomfort. As long as at the end of it, they come up with a tafkid aduva, which is to have a healthy life, arichas yomim v'shunim. And that will happen in Klal Yisrael, when we went into Mitzrayim, how it worked, why we needed it, what was going on. And esturim l'Hashem elokeini. But there definitely was some type of a process which we had to go through. Pusik calls it was Korah Barzel. We went through a furnace that smelts metal. That means you put in rocks and all the other different types. I think in English it's called ore. You put it all inside to the oven, to the furnace, and it heats it up to very, very high temperatures. In the end, it comes out from it, the pure metal which comes out at the end. Say it's a gold, say it's silver, even plain push-up barzel, even plain push-up to steel. But we know that when this happens, avada, it's a painful process, but at the end of it, there is some reason what's happening for, and v'shtaitzich, the tachlis, is worth everything which happened on the way. If we can say it, the Mitzrayim was a factory of a minna. Mitzrayim was the factory where Eden understood that the Eibishter is their boss, the Eibishter is a melech Yisrael, and the Eibishter is the one who is in charge of the world, and there's no such thing as nature. The fame, whatever we're going to say today is no chidishim. Let's push it and talk about a minna. And the tzfurim say that it says in Pusik, Ha'emanti ki adaber. A person wants to have a chizik in a minna, Ha'emanti, I believe ki adaber, because I speak about it. The more a person speaks about a minna, even though it's dvurim apshitim, as well as at the beginning of Basilis Yeshurim, it's not come to say any chidishim, it's just pushing God to say over things which people know. And as we talk them over, the minna comes back in, and we go over again and go over again, and it becomes part of our DNA, and we realize it, and we can live it, and we can try and live up to the standards of what we know, what we really believe in. The famous Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, you saw that minna. The Ramban says that the Eibishter was shidded, Maruch Hashemayim V'uretz. He took all the thing which we know as nature, everything which we know which is teva, everything which looks as if it runs with rules and fixed types of rules of nature which can't be changed. And the Eibishter Pushet showed the whole world that they don't exist. The only reason why they do exist is because he made them that way. He came and he broke all the different types of understandings that people had. He changed water into dam, he brought frogs, he brought kinim, everything. We can go through the Makkas, maybe we'll have time later. But he showed the whole world as he is Balabus. Yesh Manig Labira, somebody who rules the world. And once he ruled the world, he showed us once and for all. From now on we know, everybody in the world really should know. But Klal Yisrael were the ones who went over it, and we're the ones who chazed it, we're the ones who went, oh, we did chazura, and we took it into our belief, and we took it into our system to become part of ourselves, that the Eibishter is the one who runs the world. So from now on we know then, that everything which does happen on a regular day-to-day basis, is also, it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it. Lushan Ramban is, Mina Nisim HaNiglim, one can see the Nisim HaNisturim. There is no such thing as Teva. Teva means nature. Teva means something which looks as if there is nobody running it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in a way that the day-to-day life looks as if the nobody, as if it's happening on its own accord. Oh, Teva Gematria Likim, see? Because the Nis, that's Taka Nisturim, that's the, it's only a Gematria, so it's Taka Baderich Nister. That's the Nisim HaNisturim, it's the Nisim HaNisturim, it's so much, it looks so real, that it rules everything by itself, that you even got the Nair Shagoyim, who turn around and say that the world created on its own. What do you mean the world created on its own? You can't be more stupid than that. But because the rules of nature run in such a phenomenal way, with so much chacham inside of them, and it keeps on going over the same type of things, and one can predict what's going to happen from what was, and one knows how to heal people from what was, and one can assume the weather forecast. Okay, they normally get it wrong, but they do have some type of a chachma which they work out what the weather's going to be like, because they have something which keeps on going over itself. There's a cycle of nature, and they can work things out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it to look such a brilliant, brilliant illusion that there's nobody running it, in order that we should have nisyonos, that we should be able to have a nisyon to go and believe, no, it's really him. Somebody goes to work, and at the end of the month he gets his paycheck and his wages. It looks like that he got paid because he worked. There's so much nature involved, there's so much teva involved. But we really know the truth. Where did we learn this truth? When did we go to this shia, which taught us the truth, that there is no such thing as nature? That happened in this week's Sedra, and in next week's Sedra. That happened through Gulit Mitzrayim, and that happened by Yitzias Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the whole teva, the whole nature, he ripped it up to pieces, he showed the whole world what's going on, and everything which happened, imagine if the news, it was every 4 weeks there was another Makkah, and every 4 weeks there was another headline, something crazy has gone wrong, something upside down, impossible has happened, somebody's come along and said it's going to happen that way, and then it happened. This took a helped Klal Yisrael to get this belief that every day until today, we don't need to know, we don't need to see openness anymore. All we have to do is remember the openness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu did then. Says Ramban, that's why in so many different mitzvahs we say Zeicher Litzias Mitzrayim. We don't stop saying Zeicher Litzias Mitzrayim. We have a mitzvah to remember Litzias Mitzrayim by day. We have a mitzvah to remember Litzias Mitzrayim by night. We have a mitzvah when we say Kiddush, we say Zeicher Litzias Mitzrayim. On every Yom Tov Tefillah we say Zeicher Litzias Mitzrayim. Every Shabbos we say Zeicher Litzias Mitzrayim. We don't stop saying Zeicher Litzias Mitzrayim. Why is it so busy to remember Litzias Mitzrayim? Because when we remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, we're remembering it's a chazura. Somebody has like a point which he remembers a shia which happened. He has like this flashcard, this word which remembers, makes him remember what was. Yitzias Mitzrayim. Whoops, what does that mean? Yitzias Mitzrayim, it jogs our memory and it puts us back into it. It connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was the one who took us out of Mitzrayim. That means he was the one Taku who's Balabus. And therefore, even today, when I had some little thing which didn't go exactly the way I wanted it to go, or even the thing which I did want to go as it should have gone today, it was all Yad Hashem, and there was no such thing as a nature. The first person who came down to Mitzrayim from the Amma Nivcha, from Klal Yisrael, from the Shiftei Kor, was Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik went down to Mitzrayim 22 years before Yaakov and the Shvutim came down to live in Mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik went through a tough time. I heard a shiur recently from Rav Usher Druk. He's a magid in Yerushalayim. He spoke phenomenal. He brought out a very important nekidah. He was talking about living with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, bringing in the Eibishter to our day-to-day life. And it was the parashas of Yosef HaTzadik when he spoke. He brought out 2-3 nekidahs, which you can see extremely, in a very, very extreme manner, how Yosef HaTzadik lived with such an open emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. We'll think about a little bit of a picture what was going on over here. We have a small 17-year-old boy who was sent down to Mitzrayim. He wasn't just sent down to Mitzrayim. First his brothers plotted to kill him. They all came together and he went and they took off his ksenas pasim. They threw him into a deep boir. Don't think they placed him so gently, but they probably threw him in. They were thinking that he's going to die there anyway. And then they pulled him back out again. They sent him off to Mitzrayim. They sold him. He got sold 4 times. He was going through a difficult time, to say the least. And he comes to Mitzrayim. He comes to base Potiphar. And then he's got somebody who starts in Sionis with him. Eishes Potiphar, Chazal tell us, made his life a living Gehenna. It was this boy all by himself, and she didn't stop. And he went through a whole year. We think he had covered over there. Maybe he got a good job, because that guy, Kodesh Baruch Hu, gave him a chain. He was noise a chain, but ain't a kol royov. And therefore he had a good job. But as he went along, she had a year of Gehenim, Gehenim. And the end of it, he gets falsely accused of something. He fights his Yetzer Hara in an extreme manner, which is also, that self, that's why he's got a title of Yosef HaTzadik. We always say about Yosef, we call him Yosef HaTzadik, because of that time. He got thrown into a prison. Now, prison wasn't something like we might think about nowadays. It was this nice cell, who full-time entertainment. You don't have to really do anything. Whenever you fancy, you seem to riot and you don't do whatever you want. It wasn't such a fancy place. It was a little dungeon somewhere. It was a boy. It was a place where there was no automatic parole. Once you're good time, you do half your time, you can come out after being on good behavior. Or maybe there was, but there was no time limit holding him in being there for. So if you're meant to be there forever, then half of forever is also forever. Yosef HaTzadik went in there, there was no hope of him ever coming out. There was no reason he should come out. They didn't have these types of ideas in Mitzrayim, that some Evet came along, you threw him into prison, you took him out again. Yosef HaTzadik, as far as he knew, was going in there forever. And Itaka went in there and he was there for days, he was there for weeks, he was there for months. He was there for years. And all of a sudden he comes a ray of light. Maybe I have some type of a hope. He found the Sarah Mashkim, the Sarah Oifim, and he interpreted their dreams correctly. And he tells the Sarah Mashkim, maybe you'll be able to say a good word for me. And then that again doesn't happen. It's a whole different parasha, why, what, and how. But again doesn't happen. It goes past again, days. He's waiting. Maybe my shtadlis will work something. Weeks, months. Nothing happens. It goes past a year. And it comes 2 years after the shtadlis. Finally, he gets a message. Somebody comes down to the prison and says, you're being called to the royal court. So Yosef HaTzadik is thinking, no, something's happening over here. This is a game changer. This is something which till now I was in prison, and I'm getting out of prison. I don't know if I'm getting out, but I'm being called in front of the king. If I'm ever going to get a chance once in a lifetime to get myself out, a get out of jail card, it's going to be now. He comes up, and they give him a haircut, they change his clothes, he comes up in front of Paro. You think Paro was sitting there by himself? Paro was sitting there with the supreme judge on the right hand side, with the head of the parliament on the left hand side, with all the other judges, with all the other fanfare, with all the other advisors who sit around the paroi, and they're all there together and they're waiting along. Who is this little young Ivri who is coming to interpret Paro's dreams? All the royal interpreters were there, they'd all tried their luck, nobody had managed, everyone's waiting in suspense. Let's see what this little boy can come and do. He's been proclaimed as the Sarah Mashkim, as the brilliant interpreter. Somebody who knows exactly what happens in dreams. He knows every little nuance of what a dream means. He's going to know how to save us. He's going to know how to interpret Paro. Paro was in a slightly angry mood. He had a dream and he didn't know what it meant. And Paro, and Yosef comes along over there and he stands there in front of all this parade and all this, in front of this whole crowd. And Paro tells him, I hear about you that you are the interpreter of the world. You are the brilliant interpreter. I think anyone who is in such a position would try and accept the fame and try then afterwards to do some type of ishtadlis to try and get out of it. And Yosef HaTzadik stands up there with a big gushrai. It says, Biladoi. I'm sorry, Paro, you got the wrong address. It's got nothing to do with me. Once he said that one word, Biladoi, there was two things that could have happened. Could have been, on the lucky case, sent back to prison. On the unlucky case, his head would depart from his shoulders. He's standing there, he's been called up to be the chief interpreter, and he's been saying, Biladoi, I'm sorry, Paro, you got the whole thing wrong. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got nothing to do with me. Elohim, Yane, Es, remember the pollution, Shalom, Paro. Elohim is going to tell you the interpretation of your dream. Elohim, Paro, we know in this week's Seder, says he doesn't know there is such a thing of Elohim. Last week's Seder, doesn't know there's such a thing as Elohim. But he turned around and says, Elohim, he mentioned then in the Drusha, if you look in the Pusik, Yosef HaTzadik said 5 times the name of Hashem in that Pusik. Elohim, 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 and Elohim. And he was so matzliach that if you look at the Teretz, the Paro answers him back, even Paro said the name of Elohim. I don't remember the Lushna Pusik, but if you look at when Paro answers him back, he also mentions the word name Elohim. Yosef HaTzadik was standing there. Why didn't he do basic ishtadlis? He's already been offered on a golden tray, on a golden platter, a get out of jail card. He's been told you're brilliant. All you have to say was, crack with Siyata Deshmaya, say the right interpretation, and get out. Why is he trying to mess things up? But by Yosef HaTzadik, it wasn't any soin. By Yosef HaTzadik, there was no two different types of ways of thinking. Yosef HaTzadik had one thing. He knew that every single step that he takes, every single breath that he takes, every single move that he does, is all only because Hashem gives him that koyach. Hashem is running the world. There was no such a thing as teva. Every single minute he lived, this is the exact place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be. This is the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be. If I'm meant to be in prison, I'll be in prison. If I'm meant to be out of prison, I'll be out of prison. Oh, but one thing is for sure. All these goyim sitting in front of me have absolutely no say in the matter where I'm going to be. They have absolutely no say whether I'm going to be in prison or I'm going to be out of prison. The Medrash brings down that Yosef HaTzadik, on every move that he did, he used to say a tefillah. A homeless tefillah, when he asked that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Siyata Deshmaya that he should be mitzliach in the job that he's going to do. So much so that Potiphar turned around to Yosef HaTzadik and he saw every time he asked him to do something, all of a sudden starts mumbling. He asked him to bring him a glass of tea. Potiphar turned around to him, what are you trying to do to me? There was a superstitious place in Mitzrayim. It wasn't just superstitious. They attacked magicians right and left. You tried to do magic on me? Every time I tell you to do something, you're busy mumbling your lips. Yosef HaTzadik said, no. I'm davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should help me. You asked me for a glass of tea. I'm davening HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help me. I should be able to make the glass of tea and bring it to you. You should be happy. You asked me to clean something. I'm asking for Siyata Deshmaya. You asked me to do your accounts. I'm asking for Siyata Deshmaya. Yosef HaTzadik said this tefillah tens and tens and tens of times every single day. When one ingrains into himself this emuna of not just that we have 3 times a day when we have this chis to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and daven, but every single second of the day, every single move of the day, and everything that we do is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the koyach. He gives us Siyata Deshmaya. He's planned already where we're going to go, how we're going to go, and where we're going to end up. Then all of a sudden, one realizes that nobody else has any power. Ein oid mavadoi. Therefore, the natural reaction of Yosef HaTzadik was when Paro comes along and says, you are Mr. Great. I said, I'm sorry, I got the wrong address. I'm no one. I don't exist. Biladoi. Elohim yane eshloim Paro. And therefore, we can also understand why the Rechaim HaKadosh says, it's a scary pusik, which if one thinks about it, it's a madrega, which is it's hard to grasp and comprehend at all. Yosef HaTzadik said to the brothers, Ani Yosef Achichem, Hashem Achartem Oisi Mitzrayim. I am Yosef, your brother, that you sold me down to Mitzrayim. So Rechaim HaKadosh asks the question, why does he have to go and remind them, Hashem Achartem Oisi Mitzrayim? He's trying to make up with them. He's trying to get along with them together. They're coming along, and Yosef HaTzadik is very happy and is saying, I don't have anything against you. I'm Yosef, your brother. You sold me down to Mitzrayim. Doesn't have a better title to them. That's what he's trying to do when he's trying to bring together the brotherhood. Says, Orechaim HaKudosh, and Yosef HaTzadik told the brothers, Ani Yosef Achichem. I'm Yosef, your brother. Do you know when I was your brother? Asher Mechartem Oisi Mitzrayim. The minute exactly the same time that you were busy plotting that I should be sold to Mitzrayim, I was still then Yosef Achichem. I was still then Yosef, your brother. There wasn't a second when I lost my love for my brothers. Now we think about it, it sounds very sweet. But if you think about it for 1 minute, what happened over here? You had the son of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was royalty. He was held in esteem through the whole, through everywhere. And he came along, and it was his Ben Chuviv, somebody who Yaakov Avinu gave over his whole Torah that he was Mekabel v'Shem v'Aver in 14 years. Says in Pusik that Yosef HaTzadik knew it all already. He was learning with Yosef HaTzadik already. Yaakov Avinu was learning with Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef was only 17. How much time he spent with his father together. What type of a Talmud Chuchim he was. He was on the very, very pinnacle of greatness and closeness that a person could be. And from 1 second to the next being picked up, he's being ripped off his Ksoinus Pasim, telling him, we hate you, we're going to kill you, and they threw him into a pit. If you throw somebody into a pit, somebody falls Chas V'Shalom into a pit, there isn't normally a big mattress at the bottom which gives you a bounce at the bottom like a trampoline. Yosef HaTzadik must have chapt azetz. All his bones must have given a trisel. He must have got such a pain that he must have had from being down there. Till he realized what happened to him. A few seconds ago where he was, and all of a sudden he's here with bruises, battered all over the bottom. And when he got that boom, when he fell down the bottom of the pit, what was his first thought? It's not my brothers doing anything. Everything is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's how he kept Ani Yosef Achichem. As I was flying down that pit, I never stopped for a second to love you. If one thinks about it, it's non-human. It's mamish above any hasuga we could have had. When somebody realizes that everything's taka kudosh baruch hu, then that is the madrega that one can get to. That's why Yosef HaTzadik was the first one who went down to Mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik was in Mitzrayim, and he was the one who ingrained into all the Yidden who came into Mitzrayim. There is a manig lebira. Nothing happens by itself. Every single little thing which happens is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nobody has a koyach over us. Sometimes you can think, somebody once recently told me he had a house for sale. And it was, Uch Hashem, he got a good price for it. He was offered a very good price for it. And it came along, the goy had already signed an agreement with them. He's selling the house for a good price. And then he gave it to a solicitor. The solicitor started to make tsuras, and he started to ask this question, that question, Yen's question. As you saw, he felt this deal was slowly fizzling away. And he got a bit upset that his whole machshuva, where he's going to earn himself a nice amount of money, is going down the drain. And then he told me, all of a sudden he realized, am I so stupid? I think this goisha solicitor is in control of how much money HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told me on Rosh Hashanah I'm going to get. I must be crazy to think that. And this happens on a constant day-to-day basis. That's already more of a extreme master. But the bigger things sometimes are easier. The bigger masters, when somebody wanted to get on a plane, and all of a sudden the plane went down, and he missed his flight and the plane went down. We know the books that people can write about Twin Towers, of how many people were meant to be there, were meant to be here, were meant to be there, they got held up here, they got held up there. The big stories are very easy to believe as Ashkocha Prutis. But when we're on the way to school in the morning, and we're busy, or we're on the way to a business meeting, on the way to your chavrisa, and there's somebody who decides then to do a 3-point turn in the middle of the road, and it looks like they didn't pass their driving test. And it takes them forever. From a 3-point turn ends up being a 9-point turn. They don't stop. Backwards and forwards, and backwards and forwards. And the tension grows, and your pressure's growing, and you know the Rebbe's going to be upset, your kid's coming again late to cheder. You're going to miss that business meeting, which is going to be the clinching of the deal. There's so many little things that go through our mind. Then it's much harder for us to think that there's a manig lebira. Who on earth decided that this person in front of my nose should not go through that light? They could have gone through on that orange, and I would have gone through the orange, which nearly turned into red. But they were careful, and they decided to stop, and because of them, I have to wait another 3 minutes at the end of the road. These little things which happen the whole time. Somebody gets on our nerves. Somebody stood in our place in Shiel. Somebody gave us a push by mistake, and the coffee spilled. And one thinks through the day, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things which happen every single day, which are miyichad. And obviously a person feels, that we live in an illusion that everything happens by itself, which we all live with this illusion, because that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world. And it's hard, we get frustrated. But if we manage to get to Yosef HaTzadik's dargah, we wouldn't see anything. It's all the same. What is the difference where I am? Anywhere I am, whatever position I'm in. Obviously, I'd prefer to be in a more comfortable position. Obviously, I'd prefer to be in a position which I can see everything as gishmak. But reality, there's no difference. Because wherever I am, it's impossible for me to be in a situation or in a place which wasn't prescribed for myself to be there right now. So therefore, the same Eibishto who wants me to sit in Beis Medrash and learn my Chavrisa is the same one who wants me now to be stuck in traffic trying to get through, to get to my Chavrisa. And that how it goes through every single little period of the day. Heard from Fein Waxman, he said on a drusha of his, like the Klal Yisrael, that minna is Klal Yisrael compared to a tinnik, hagoyimu me'imoy, as a child who is feeding from, is nursing from his mother. We all know there's a famous mushal, I don't know if where it comes from, if it has any makoir or not, but there's a famous mushal which I think most of us know, that somebody had a dream, and he was walking along the sand on the beach side with Eibishter together, and there was two sets of footprints the whole way along, as he was going through his life. Whenever it came to a difficult period in his life, all of a sudden the two footprints went away and only came one set of footprints. And the person came to Tarima, said Eibishter, only when it became difficult, that's when he left me all by myself. I see all the difficult periods when he left me all by myself, then it's only one set of footprints. And then Eibishter answered him back, my Tyre kind, the opposite. On the regular times we walk next to each other. But on the difficult times I picked you up and I held you in my hands. Therefore there's only one set of footprints. I don't know where the mushal comes from. But l'choyra there's often a pusik in Tehillim which says exactly that. We say in Yoshe B'Seser Elyon, Al kapayim yiso incho pentigoif bo'even raglecho. Al kapayim yiso incho, I'll carry you. The Irish tells Yidin, I'm carrying you in my hands. Why? Pentigoif bo'even raglecho. Because perhaps, it's not even for sure, it's only a pen. Because perhaps your feet will bash into a stone. What type of ahava, how much love comes out from such a pusik? We say it many, many, many times, Yoshe B'Seser. And Yoshe B'Seser is a capital Tehillim which shows us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. Itaka takes away the mazikim from right and from left. That's what we say by Levaya. And we say Itaka Shabbos morning, we say it before we go to bed at night. We don't start talking about it because the mazikim are going away. But in the middle of Yoshe B'Seser is hidden in a pusik which brings out such a love which Hashem has to Eden. And then we take that a step further. A step further is like a child that drinks, that nurses from his mother. There is no more peace in the world for a baby which is nursing from his mother. It doesn't make any difference what situation the mother's in. She could be on a 5-star hotel resting out, or she could be chas v'shulam in the middle of the gresta melchuma, in the griddle of mester pachat, when she's scared, she doesn't know if she's going to survive another 10 minutes with her life. The baby which is nursing is the same content, peaceful baby. Because this baby doesn't know anything else in the world except this is my mother, and this is where I get my sustenance from, and this is where I'm happy. He brings out a second akidah why Chazal, why the Torah compares Yidin to a nursing baby. Because as we know, the best advert for milk formula is, it's the best closest to nature. Now even they finally agree. Now not everything they can copy completely. The best which there is ever is natural milk. Why? There is a Mordecai Chochmah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu made in the Bria. Every person, every baby needs a slightly different vitamin formula. Every baby needs different things to keep him gesund. Sometimes the baby can have a weakness and he needs some type of a vitamin, some type of an antibiotic, some type of a koyach inside of him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that every child receives the milk from his mother, gets created exactly to the formula that he needs. If we can think about it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to every Yid exactly what he needs. We're like a suckling who is nursing from the mother. Every person gets put into the situation which is 100% prescribed for this person himself. There's no two situations alike, there's no two people alike, and therefore there are no two matzuvim which HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates for the same for the two different people. Everyone has their miyuchadika recipe, their miyuchadika prescription. So we see this from Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef HaTzadik was the first one who took Yidin into Mitzrayim. We see from the Ramban who says on the way out of Mitzrayim, when the Eibishter turned over Shemayim V'Uretz, when the Eibishter showed us again that he's Manig Lebira. And that's what the Yidin got into their DNA through going through this 210 years of Agulis. And we see the Yidin Taka took it into their DNA. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go take out my Yidin from Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, who said they'll believe me? Who said they'll believe me? Somebody rolls up and says, I'm the savior. The Eibishter told him that he gave him a makkah of a nochosh. He gave him a moifas of a nochosh. Shanochosh is the one who spoke Lushan Hara. He gave him a moifas of tzaras on his hand because he said he spoke bad about Yiddish Kindelech. And we see Taka Moshe Rabbeinu rolled up to Klal Yisroel and he told them, Pokoit, Pokadeti, Alekim Eschem. The Eibishter is remembered about you. Straight away, Klal Yisroel believed him. And he did tackle them off some also. We said when he said pocket pokadati, Klal Yisroel remembered, Klal Yisroel we had a minah shleima that he's down attack, the Eibishter sent him to take them out of Mitzrayim. Heard a beautiful Nekidala tackle this week on Sunday. Somebody told me, I don't know who it's from. We said before that the whole reason why a person has a tzura is for shteitzich, is only for the refiah sheboy. Because we know this is like a person going through an operation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never ever give somebody any tsar if there's no tafkid to it of coming out a toiva from it. Like we said before, the operation which the doctor is doing. So therefore, maybe that's why refiah koidim lamakah. Why is it so important that should be refiah koidim lamakah? How can you tell when you see a situation going on if you know he's a doctor or a terrorist? If the guy has a medical kit next to him, he's got the stitches over there and he's got the bandages, then you know he's a doctor. But all you see is blood and guts spilt all over, you know he's a terrorist. If it's a refiah koidim lamakah, if the refiah, the plaster's already there before the nurse comes along and gives that immunization, they've come along with the plaster, you realize the nurse giving immunization. If it's somebody coming along in Abuch to do some other type of injections, then you know it's a tzura. Maybe that's why refiah koidim lamakah is such a simon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything he does for us is only a refiah. A taka feels like a makah, but it's only a refiah. He told me, this year told me on Sunday, this Nakida, Pokrit Pokadati. If you take the letters Pei, Kif, and Dalet, and the letter after each one of them makes a word Tzura. After Pei comes a Tzadi, after Kif comes a Resh, and after Dalet comes a Hei. Because it was Rafia Koidim Lamaka. The Pokoid came before the Tzura. And Kodesh Baruch had already told Klal Yisroel, I'm going to be pocket Bakadati Yaskan before he gave them all the hardships in Mitzrayim. That was the telltale sign to telling us it was really all a refiah which we went through in Eretz Mitzrayim. So we received this lesson of a minna in Mitzrayim. I heard two cute stories about a plane. We said before about the plane which was going to crash. There was somebody who went through some type of, he missed his flight and he was very upset. I don't know who he went to, who it was, I don't remember anymore. I read it somewhere. So he came to this roof, this manik, and he was discussing that he missed his flight. So this manik told him, tell me something. If you would have heard that plane went down in the sea, I had a crash, and all 223 people on board killed, you'd be happy today? He said, yeah, for sure, I'd have my life was saved. You'd believe it was Yad Hashem that saved you to getting on that plane? He said, Avada. I said, why are you such an achzer? 223 people have to die in order you should believe? So they didn't die. Say, thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the 223 people stayed alive. But the same Eibishter didn't put you on the plane if it would have crashed is the same one that didn't put you on the plane which did go and did get there on time. And we think about it, it's so true. Obviously, it's the same Bashef who does it. But sometimes the Eibishter screams out at us telling us, I saved your life. And sometimes he doesn't shout on such a high volume. But if we open our ears and we get sensitive to the nisach, to the signs, to the messages which are coming through, we create the right receptors, then we hear the same thing. So 223 people didn't die. I heard Rav Victor Miller said that one has to realize when all these types of things happen, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing it. Said somebody's on a plane, all of a sudden there's an engine failure, something goes wrong, and the plane has to make an emergency landing, and everyone comes off safely and happy. The first thing most people think about is, well, whose fault is it? Is it the airline's fault? Was the plane maybe wasn't serviced? Maybe it was Boeing's fault? Maybe it was this fault? Maybe it was the technician? Maybe it was everyone's busy with all the other things which have happened. We have to stop and think and learn from the Oivdei Avodah Zarah in the Mass of Inyoina. In Mass of Inyoina, Yoina ran away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he got on the boat. And it says that everyone shouted to his God. And they saw it doesn't help. So they made gerulas. Let's see, whose fault is it? What do you mean, whose fault is it? Something's going wrong. We have to think, why is there such a funny weather today? Why is there such a big wind? Why are the waves so unusual? Why didn't they build the ship a lot stronger? Maybe they should put in safety nets. Maybe they should put more lifeboats on board. There's so many things in the nature which they could have thought about. The Oiv David Azura were clearing who is behind it, whose fault is it, who did something wrong. So we have to learn a lesson, even from the Oiv David Azura, from Master Yoina, that when something goes wrong, our first machshuva has to be, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? What does he want from me? What message is he telling me? I know a lady who was a reading Gan Eden, she's not alive anymore, but she had went through a tkifa in her life that she used to try and write down every evening before she went to bed, 50 things to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about for that day. She used to say the first 20, 30 were easy. It was the last 20 which she had to work hard to get. And it created her, set her into a frame of mind that the whole day she was busy thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because she has to have that 50 at the end of the day. And it trained her to keep her eyes open. And it trained her to get there. And it trained, when one is thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole day and the whole night and every second, all of a sudden, everything is more simple. Because we know we have Avraham Rachman. We know he loves us more than we love ourselves. You know he cares for us more than anything else in the world. He called us B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, my precious son, my firstborn. B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. The Haibish has given us so many Lashonos of Ahava. He loves us so much. The Vashtaitzich, if we think that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing everything, and we know with all our fibers of our being how much he loves us, then all of a sudden, everything is much easier to take on. We know everything is good. We know every piece of parnus that we make and that we didn't make. Everything that did go good and didn't go good. And everything that happened is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just to finish off with a machshuva that we Na'ibish is a help and we hope to come out of the gulis as quick as possible. We have an imam in Bemin Shleima that every single day the Na'ibish is going to take us out. I don't know if this is the right, if it's true or not. What this machshuva, but we say in Shmini Esra, Ech Tzemach David Avdicho Meheres Atzmiach, and we say Kivini Kol Hayoyim. Kol Hayoyim is interesting lushan. The whole day really means Kivini Kol Yoyim. Every single day. I think on the Mefarshei Hasidah they bring down to lushan Apusik somewhere which says Kol Hayoyim, which means every day. My thought once, why does it have to say Kol Hayoyim? If it means Kol Yoyim, should say Kol Yoyim. Why does it say Kol Hayoyim? Because that's what a Yid is. We don't believe HaKadosh Baruch is going to bring Mashiach every day. But we believe the whole of the day. Every single day we're thinking that this second is the minute that HaKadosh Baruch is going to bring. This minute that HaKadosh Baruch we're going to hit the Tkiyah Shofar. This minute is going to take us out of the Gulas. This minute is when we're going to be freed from this Oila Shibud which we have. This minute is going to take away this illusion which we have. Such a brilliant, phenomenal illusion that everything gets run by nature. This we're going to have a Mule Oris Deyas Hashem, and we're going to be able to understand and see who the Eibishter is. We won't just have to believe that the Eibishter runs the world, but we're going to see that the Eibishter runs the world. Maybe if we're allowed to say such a vort, it says in the parish of B'ni B'chori Yisrul, we know Rosh Hashanah, we say Hayoim Harasoylam, Im Kavunim, Im Kavudim. It's one of the most famous pieces of Rosh Hashanah because we sing it three times every single day. Im Kavunim, Rachameini, Kerachim, Ovalbunim. Vim kavudim einaini lechusaliyos acha tchoneini v'soyti la'or mishpateini oyim v'kudosh. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask him in a tefillah, who are we? If we are we your children or are we your avudim? And whatever we are, we ask you. If we're children, have rachmunas like a father loves a child. Im kavudim, if we're servants, then we're looking up to you with pleading eyes. Please save us. Obviously, you see from this tefillah that if we're children, it's a whole different story. You don't have to talk about it. Every father loves his child. Every father wants the best of his child. Every father, if he could, he would do everything in his capabilities for his child. And the Eibishter is all-powerful. The Eibishter can do everything. So we tell the Eibishter, Rachmeini Kerachim Uvalbunim. And if we're not, it's Kavudin, then we hope in Einat Lataliyas, we hope we'll be Zoicha. We think about it for a minute. The Eibishter called us in this week's Seder, B'ni B'chori Yisru. In this last week's Seder, B'ni B'chori Yisru. Why do the Goyim hate us? Do the Goyim hate us so much? Do the Goyim give us such tourists? Do the Goyim afflict us so much because we are the children of Hashem? Or because we are the Avudim of Hashem? If you have somebody who wants to go against another kingdom, he starts up with the soldiers of the other kingdom, very sweet, so he killed the soldier, nothing's happened to them. If he touches the prince of the king, if he touches the crown prince, then it's a full-scale act of war. We are being hated by all the goyim for one simple reason. Chazal tell us, Har Sinai is called Har Sinai, Sheyordo Sino Le'olam. We are the children of the Eibishter. He gave us His Torah, and we are keeping His Torah, and we're keeping His Torah dear. We're going through everything in the world to keep His Torah. They hate us for one reason. We are His kinder. And if the reason we get hated for, the reason we get killed for, the reason they afflict us is because we're His children, then L'choyer we have a schis to kind of beaten by the Eibishter. Aibazoi, if we're getting hurt because we're your children, Aibishta help we should deserve. You should have rachmunus and have also because we are your children. So the Aibishta helfen, Bazan, Kirachim, Ov, Albunim, Bishbezoi Chasun, Sezein, with Chzechzenu, Eneini, Liris, Bishibcha, Lissim, Rachmin. Hey!